Do you want to look at Psalm 49? You can turn there to Psalm 49. I'm going to read the psalm. And I've entitled the message, I've entitled the message, Finding Escape from the Regions of the Dead. So turn to Psalm 49 and we'll read this psalm first of all. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. For my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable, I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of thy heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away, his glory shall not descend after him. Though whiles he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise him when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Very powerful psalm with rich truths here as we look at man, and it is a psalm that addresses a lot the influence of wealth. I don't intend to look at the subject of wealth particularly this morning, but looking more at the subject of escaping the regions of finding escape from the regions of the dead. Let's look again at this psalm. Starting with verse 11, it says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Their families will continue forever. Their dwelling places to all generation. They call the lands after their own name. And so it is. As we live in this world, we tend to think that we're going to just stay here. And this is our place. And we tend to, as mankind, view that this is our place. And we're just going to stay here forever, even though we know it differently. But he continues on in verse 12 and says, nevertheless, man, though in honor, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. We're going to pass from this world. This their way is their folly. This is the way of those who are foolish. Yea, their posterity approved their sayings. Selah. Then he continues on. He says, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And that is what's going to happen. Like sheep, they'll be laid in the grave like a flock. We're going to be laid in the grave, and death shall feed on them. Or they'll be laid in, that word grave is Sheol. They will be laid in Sheol, and death shall feed on them. says, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwellings. But he continues on and he says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Well, death is going to feed on us. We're not just going to continue here forever. There is a world beyond this life that we need to prepare for and think about. And we need to think about it now. And not be foolish like these men that trusted in their wealth and just assumed everything was going to be all right and lived for the here and the now. So we could ask ourselves the question, do I need to live a righteous life? Do I need to live a righteous life? Yes, we need to live a righteous life. In verse 19 of this psalm, it says, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. And there we have it. They shall never see light. And we don't want that to be our experience. We don't want to be a part of them that shall never see light. And so we want to live a righteous life. We want to live for God so we have a future. Job asked that question there in Job 14:14. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? Is that the end of life? When we die. He continues on and he says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Job says, yes, there's life beyond when this body dies. There's life beyond that. You're going to call, and I'm going to answer your call. There is life beyond when this body dies. And when we die, we are gathered to Sheol. In Psalm 49, it uses the word Sheol or grave. We're gathered to Sheol. We're gathered to the place of the regions of the dead. They were then. Jacob, when he was dying, when he died, there in Genesis 49, verse 33, it says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into his bed and yielded up the ghost. And then it says, and was gathered unto his people. See, he didn't just go to the grave and there his body was buried, but he was gathered unto his people. He went to the regions of the dead and he was gathered unto his people, which I would assume would have been his father, Isaac, and Abraham, and the other righteous. They were gathered there. And he was taken there. And there he was placed. He was gathered unto his people. We're real familiar with Jesus as he talks about this experience. In Luke 16, when the rich man and Lazarus died. And in Luke 16, Jesus talks about it. In verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, but then it says, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. See, he died, but it wasn't the end of his life. The angels came, God's angels came. And they carried him to Abraham's bosom. We call that paradise. Sheol, or Hades. He was carried to the place of the dead, and it talks about that experience there, as he was there with the righteous. Lazarus was there as the righteous, and we're familiar with the story, how the rich man was there with the wicked, and they were in two different compartments, but they were in the place of the regions of the dead, and there they were, waiting. Pharaoh was in the regions of the dead in Ezekiel 32, verse 18 through 21. I'll read these verses. Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in thy beauty? Go down, and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell, Sheol, with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Here he's in hell, or Hades. There in verse 21 is that word. He is in Hades, and he's in the nether parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth. And that's where he is. And it says, the strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell, out of the midst of Sheol. They'll talk to him there as he is down there, Pharaoh, as he is down there, the multitudes of Egypt, down there in the nether parts of the earth, down there in Sheol, down there in the place of the regions of the dead, and they'll talk with one another there. But there is the place of the dead. Jesus went to the heart of the earth, to the place of the dead, when he was crucified. And in Matthew 12, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But why do I say this? Because I want us to be conscious that we're going to leave this world, but it is not the end of our existence. We need to think beyond when our body lies in a casket. We need to think beyond that. We need to think of life beyond that time, that our earthly existence. And think beyond that so that we're prepared for that life. Korah. Korah is Kor, Dathan, and Abiram. But Korah went down alive into Sheol. The earth opened up her mouth and swallowed him down into the place of the dead, down in the place of departed spirits. That's in Numbers 14, verse 30. Numbers 16, verse 30 and 31. Moses says this, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick, that is alive, into the pit, that is Sheol, then they shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, Sheol. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. This is a very, very unusual experience where they went down alive into the place of the dead. But that's where they went. And there is the place of the dead. There is an existence beyond this world. Remember the experience of Saul. When he was wanting to know what was going to happen to him and what he should do there in that battle with the Philistines. And he went to that witch of Endor there in 1 Samuel 24 or 1 Samuel 28. And he said, I need to talk to Samuel. Get Samuel to come and talk with me. And she was a witch. Yeah, she was a familiar spirit. And she had contact with the dead and with the demons. I shouldn't say contact with the dead. She had contact with the demons. And she asked that Samuel come up. And we see that's what's happening here. And the king said unto her in 1 Samuel 8, verse 13. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. This is unusual. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up. He is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped upon his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said unto Saul, now this is here's what Samuel has to say. Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? He was down there in the earth at the place of departed spirits with his people. And he said, why did you disquiet me to bring me up? The grave is not the end. And because it's not the end, we need a plan for beyond the grave. There's a place where the departed dead go. And we've seen a number of illustrations of this as we look into the scriptures. And so we can ask Job's question again, if a man die, shall he live again? And the answer is yes. Just the physical death isn't the end. Yes, you will go to the regions of the dead. And like the psalmist says here in Psalm 49, death shall feed on them. Death shall feed on them. Death will feed on you, and you will be there under the power of death. Now, it's sin that separates us from God. And I know today, I don't believe that the righteous go down to the heart of the earth anymore. I think they go to heaven, but they still go to the place of the dead. Only as the righteous, we have the opportunity of life. And we're looking forward to life. We're looking forward to conquering death. But sin is what separates us from God, or disobeying the will of God, or doing the things that are wrong, doing the things that are displeasing to God. That's what brings separation from God. And that's what separates us from life. And as we look at this psalm here in Psalm 49, he says that none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. We can't redeem our lives with our wealth. That we can't have somebody else redeem our life with any substance. We're not able to do that. It says, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. It ceaseth forever. No payment is ever enough. not in the way of money or wealth or possessions or things, or we cannot do it. Nobody can do it, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. We cannot get out of that situation by wealth or money or those kind of things. But God can redeem us. It says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. But in verse 15 it says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. And here we have the power of the grave, where we have individuals under the power of the grave, and the word grave here is Sheol. It says, God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, the place of the departed dead. God can redeem my soul from that place. He can redeem my soul from the regions of the dead. God can do it. He can buy us back. And that's why that's one of the reasons we need to serve him, because he can buy us back. He can pay the price for our reconciliation to him. And he did that. He did that by his death on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid the price for our redemption. And he opened up the avenues of life for us, so that the power of the grave would no longer hold us down. He says, He shall call, Job said, he shall call, and I will answer. God will call, and we will answer. Now, we will answer. When God calls in that call, we will answer. It doesn't matter who we are. When God calls and says, come to stand before me, we will. And our life will be open before him. But when God calls, we will answer. And those individuals who are there in the under the power of the grave will respond. They were described as prisoners down there in Zechariah 9, verse 12. It talks about them as prisoners. Verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. And he's calling for the deliverance from those who are in the prison. And I believe it's talking about the power of the grave there. The power of Sheol. They're in prison. The power of Sheol is holding them there. The power of death is holding them there. But God can redeem us from the power of the grave, the power of Sheol. God can. In Isaiah 42, it talks about it. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, it says, behold my servant whom I uphold. Now I'll skip to verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. It's definitely talking about Jesus here. And he says, in verse 7, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Jesus is able to deliver us out of the regions of the dead, or out of the power of Sheol, or the power of the grave. Jesus is able to do that, and he will. And it's important for us to realize that, and to know that he is the one that can, and to prepare our lives so that he will help us in that day. He will call sometime, and we will answer. In John 5, Jesus talks about when he will call. And tells us that, yes, we will certainly answer when he calls. Jesus is going to call, and we're going to answer. It's going to be a very real call that we will hear. Let me read the words of Jesus in John 5, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was there, was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 6. All right, starting again, 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We escape death. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so Jesus is going to call. He shall call, and I will answer. And Jesus is given authority to execute judgment, to be the judge. And he will, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. They will hear his voice and they will come forth. And we know that Jesus talks about how he will come and the trumpet will sound. There'll be a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. Yes. And the righteous shall rise to be with him. Now it doesn't really talk about the righteous rising, but it says that the wicked will also hear his voice. They will hear his voice, and they will not overcome death. Even though they stand before him, they will not overcome death. Death will continue to conquer them. But in Psalm 49, it says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. It says, for he shall receive me. And God will receive us. He will take us. He will take us to himself. And we can overcome the power of the grave. That phrase, for he shall receive me, is the same as what is used in Genesis 5, verse 42. Verse 24, where it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. It says, for God took him. God took him. And that is, you know, we live our life with the assumption that God will take us. And that's good and that's bad, I guess. God is willing to take us. It's just important for us to understand how diligent we need to be to make sure he will take us. But here he says, "For he shall receive me." God will receive us. God will embrace us. He will rescue us out of the power of death. There's a number of verses that talk about that in the New Testament as well. He will rescue us out of the power of death, and he will take us to be part of eternal life. But not everyone will receive. But God will not receive everyone. God will not receive everyone. Matthew 25 talks about some that he does not receive. We're familiar with when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. And it talks about the judgment when he'll gather all nations before him, and he'll separate them like a sheep, like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. But not all men will be received by God. He won't receive everyone. In verse 41, I'm going to read these verses. "Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This is the second death. And he says, "Depart from me." He says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." God is looking for individuals who, men and women of an upright character, to take to be a part, to redeem, to buy them back, to take to be a part of his kingdom. And we want to be men and women who are of that upright and honest and noble character. And that's the only kind of people we want to live around us. And that should be the only kind of people we want to be as well. I'd like to read Psalm 15. Just to take a look at the upright character that God wants us to have. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. God will redeem them from the power of the grave." Finding escape from the regions of the dead. There is a life after we die. The angel will come and take you, yes, to the place of the dead. Is death going to keep you in its prison? Riches can't buy us our salvation, nor can any one of our brethren. No man can redeem us. Death will feed on us. But God will redeem us from the power of the grave. God can save you out of death's prison. And God will receive us and take us to be with him. And so God calls out and says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is not else. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." God is all powerful. His will be done, and he calls to us to come to him to be saved, because we will answer his call and will stand before him. And he can redeem us from the power of the grave, and he will receive us unto himself. What an amazing blessing we have. Let's meditate upon those things. But therefore, because he will do that, let us live our lives committed and dedicated to doing his will. We can conquer the power of the grave, and we can be received into eternal life. Let's live faithfully for him. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. You are our Heavenly Father. You're in heaven. We believe you're there. We believe you made the world. We believe you're all powerful. We believe, Lord, that unto you every knee shall bow. We cannot escape you. But we don't want to escape you, Lord. It is in you that we find life. It is in you that we find redemption. We have fallen, Lord, yes. We have fallen, Lord, and death shall feed on us. But you can redeem us from the power of the grave. And you will receive us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for his work on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your word that shows us the upright and holy way to live. Lord, we want to live according to your truths and be your children. Help us, Lord, as we live in our homes, as we relate to those in our homes, that it would be homes where you are there. And based on sound doctrine, people that live according to your word. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. We owe our life to you. We want to live according to your truth and according to your way. Be with each one. Bless the young people. Bless each one here, Lord, that when they pass from this world and they hear that call that you call, it'll be a resurrection unto life and not to damnation. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be received of you and to be resurrected unto life. And I want to continue to rejoice in your goodness, and in your power and in your love in this world, and also in all the world to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.